brethren. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And our text is found in verses 15 through 20. Last week we were seeing that Christ is the light of his people. He's the revealer of God and truth to his people. And he's the light of the church. And the church is described as a candlestick. And she upholds the beautiful, glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ in this dark, fallen world that men may see and know their salvation. There's the light, and be drawn to him and hear of the glorious good news that God has declared, made known, provided for sinners in need of his grace and mercy. So off of that, today's message in this text is really given to inspire believers to that end, to inspire us and encourage us, knowing that our Savior is a successful Savior and that we would be encouraged to press forward in that calling, to hold up the beautiful, glorious light of our Lord and Savior, that we would serve him in this purpose and that we would be willing bondservants to minister this gospel to perishing sinners in need of his grace and mercy. Now, this passage, it helps to understand that Paul is using figures. He's speaking of things that we're familiar with, such as walking in a way, in a path, such as what we drink, take into our bodies, and being filled, not with alcohol, but with the Holy Spirit. And these are figures which reveal to us the glories of Christ, so that we see and understand that as we're walking in this world, we're walking in Christ. And as we're filled with his Spirit, it's to minister, to pour out that strong drink of the gospel, the wine of Christ's love to needy sinners, believing, praying that they would hear the voice of the Son of God and believe, that they would believe him. I've titled this message, Not Drunk, Rather Filled with the Spirit. It's taken from verse 18, and we'll get there in our second point. So let's first look at the way in which we walk. Paul says in verse 15, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And this word circumspectly, it's not used a lot in the New Testament, but when it is, it's also translated as diligently, walk diligently. It's also translated as walk perfectly, walk perfectly. And circumspectly, if you look it up, it's described as one who walks circumspectly is being watchful. They're being mindful. They're looking about with understanding of where they're going and what they're doing. They're taking into consideration what's going on around them. And the Lord does that. He makes his people to know him and that we are his. We know whose we are. And so Paul is instructing these Ephesians to be mindful of their walk and to walk with diligence, to walk in the purpose of our God for his church. Now, it could have been translated, "See then that ye walk perfectly." And that actually is a help because there's only one way whereby believers walk perfectly. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is perfection. We in this flesh don't do anything perfectly. But Christ is perfect. And so if you're to walk perfectly, and I'm to walk perfectly, It's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by Him, because He is our perfection. He is our holiness and our righteousness. And so, when you're looking at this passage, set your heart and your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ, because these are figures to put our mind on Him. It's not to turn us back to the flesh and to whip the flesh and to beat the flesh. It's looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and being encouraged by His grace and mercy and love. And He causes us, He gives us to walk in Him, and it's a walk by faith, whereby we don't see perfections in this flesh. We're ever looking to Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. God's purposed it so to be. He's made it to be like this, lest we become puffed up in our hearts and imaginations. But He humbles us. He shows us it's all of His grace. And so, believers have been given a walk. That's what predestination is speaking of. When we speak of God electing, notice it's always He elected a people. Election is God choosing a people. Predestination is what He's predestinated us unto, our walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so He's predestinated our walk. He's determined when we should know and hear this glorious gospel. When the hour comes for the time of our love, when He passes by us and in grace reveals His light in our heart, making us to know Him. And so He's predestinated our walk, and it's all according to His will, according to His purpose for us in His salvation. And so there's many figures that are used in Scripture that describe our walk, and they describe the way in which believers walk. And everywhere you see in Scripture that's speaking of our walk, it's a figure of Christ. It's speaking of our walk in the Lord Jesus Christ and being in Him. When our Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." He's telling us that He is the way unto the Father, and there's no other way to come to God. There's no other way whereby man can know God. Men know a lot of gods, little g gods. They're false idol gods that cannot save. They're just worshiping themselves. But there's one true and living God, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ, who reveals to us the glory of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Then we see that this way of life is found in Him alone. And He says in Matthew 7, verse 14, that our entrance into this way is through Christ. And He likens Himself unto a gate, a narrow gate. He says, because straight or narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way. And that word narrow, describing the way, is He's saying that this way in which we're brought by the Lord is a distressing way. It's a way that presses in upon us, making us uncomfortable in this flesh, in our natural selves. It's a distressing, pressing in upon you way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. You know, as an illustration of that pressing way, it reminds me of in my garden at this time of year. If you're a gardener and you're anything like me, when you're planting things, you have some extra plants and you just can't stand to throw them away. And so I always put in an extra plant or two than what I really have room for. And if you have cherry tomatoes like I do, they grow high and then they fall over, and it really presses in upon the path through the tomato plants. And so if I'm going to get those few tomatoes up in there that few ever find, I have to go through on my hands and knees, going through spider webs and in the dirt just to find that fruit. And the Lord is saying it's a way that few ever find. and he is that way. And that's because it's a narrow way, because it's only as wide as Christ himself. We don't go through and enter the kingdom of God with all our religious baggage and God receiving everything that we bring to it. We come in the person of Jesus Christ. We come in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. That's how narrow it is. And so Paul says, "See that ye walk circumspectly," because there is no salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one in whom we walk. And then there's one more figure that I like to bring out that's often used in Isaiah, where he speaks of there being an highway. Turn over to Isaiah 35. There's a few times that Isaiah uses this word highway. And often it's a way which the Lord has provided, describing our spiritual deliverance from captivity. It's a way that he gives to his remnant seed, his people that he loves and chose for himself. And it's always describing their coming out of captivity, their being delivered out from their bondage, such as when they came out of Egypt or when Israel came out of Assyria. But Isaiah here in 35 verse 8 says, "And highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness." This is a spiritual highway. It's a figure of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way in which we walk, and he's the highway that we go upon. And Christ is the highway that God has provided for his people, and it's called the way of holiness because he is our holiness. He is our righteousness. And then it says, "The unclean shall not pass over it." How is it that the unclean are not on that highway? When we look at ourselves and we see ourselves as fallen sinners in need of his grace, when we cry out, seeing our sin, I'm unclean. What the Lord's saying there is that all who go in Christ, all who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, walking to that heavenly glory in him, are not unclean, because he's washed us in every way. He's made us whole and righteous by his sin-cleansing blood. And then he says, "But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." And that's because every believer is a sinner saved by his grace. And so we are the wayfaring man. We're the ones who were lost in trespasses and sins, dead in trespasses and sins. We're the fools that knew not God, but were in darkness and didn't even know the darkness that we dwelled in. And so we were shut out from the things of God until Christ came in mercy and grace and called us out of that bondage. And so now in him, though we were fools previous to his light, now in him we shall not err therein. Or what we should say is, we shall not err in him. We shall not err in him, because therein is the way, which is the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. You that trust in him, you that look to the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall not come short of the glory you seek. You have life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You shall not be ashamed trusting in him for your righteousness. And so Paul says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Walk, continue to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Abide in him. Don't be turned from him. Keep crying out to him. Whenever you see your heart turning, cry out to him, because he's the one that keeps us. He's the one that makes you to see your heart turning. He's the one that makes you to see your need of him. It's all of his grace and mercy. You just stay upon him, because he's the one that's put you there in him and makes you to know him. So don't walk as being a forgetful hearer and walking in the ways that we did when we were in darkness. That's what the flesh wants to do. That's what the flesh does. It likes the darkness. It likes to keep its sins hidden under the cloak of darkness, but God's revealed himself to us. He's made us to know his grace and mercy. So Paul says, walk as wise. Walk in the understanding that our God has given to each of us, making us to know him, to understand his mercy, to understand his grace and our need of it. So keep walking in Christ. Then he adds in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so this idea of redeeming the time, what he's saying is, make the best use of the time that your God has given to you. Make the best use of it. Whether you're saved when you're old or whether you're saved when you're young, make good use of this time that you now have in Christ to serve him and to minister this gospel to your brethren and to serve them. Redeem the time. You know, we don't know how much time we have, and we see just how easily time slips away from us. We can all think of times when we thought we would speak to someone about the gospel and prayed about it, and just time gets away. And we see that happen a lot. And sometimes it just does. We pray for the opportunities. And we pray that God help us to recognize those opportunities. But redeem the time. You know, when we might be saved when we're old and still have 20, 40 years. We might be saved when we're young and only have a few days left. Just make the best use of the time that the Lord has given you to serve him and your brethren. Paul said to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 7:31, they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Things ain't going to be like this in glory, and it's all passing away. So set your heart and your affection on things above. Don't be like those that scoff at the promise of the coming of Christ. He is coming, and we don't look at that with fear. We look at that with rejoicing. And so make the best use of your time in Christ. And then Paul adds to this that we are to redeem the time. He says, because the days are evil. Now, when Paul wrote this, this was about 2,000 years ago, and he noticed that the days are evil in which he wrote this letter. And when we examine our day, we notice the days are evil. And that tells us that men were evil then and men are evil now. Man hasn't changed. He hasn't improved. He hasn't gotten better. He's still a wicked, vile sinner. He's full of wrath and bitterness and deceit. He still works adultery and fornication and uncleanness. He practices religious idolatry and witchcraft. He's full of hate, envy, spite, bitterness, malice, hatred. He continues in these things. And Paul says, such were some of you. We see that we walked in those ways. We see those sins in our own flesh and in our heart. But the Lord washed us and he sanctified us. And so men who were evil then, men are still evil today. It means they need the gospel now, just as the gospel was needed then, because that's the only way that we hear what we are, that we hear our need of salvation and look to him. And so that's the point, that if others are going to hear of the glorious salvation that's in Christ Jesus alone, how are they going to hear it if we're just living just like them in all things? If we just do exactly as they do and don't care or aren't mindful about the calling that we have in Christ, that as his church we are to minister this gospel, to uphold the light of Christ and to give of our resources and time to the local church, that this gospel would go forth and minister to the needs of lost sinners that the Lord has chosen out for himself who are yet to come to a knowledge of this salvation. If they perish without Christ, Paul says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so it's the purpose and will of God to draw in all his people, because none shall be lost. None shall be lost. He's drawing them. And so we redeem the time because the days are evil, because men are yet sinners without Christ and they need him. If they're to be saved, they're only going to be saved in the one name that's given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Ephesians 5:17, wherefore, Paul says, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He's just saying what he's been saying so far. Don't be ignorant of what our God has done for us. Walk in that light. And he's revealed the gospel to us. And it would be unwise to continue in that way, to continue living as though we didn't know the truth, when indeed we do know the truth. So walk with that understanding of what the will of the Lord is. There's many examples in the epistles where Paul prays for his brethren. He prays for the church. And it's revealing what the will of our God is for us. And when he was writing to the Hebrews in Hebrews 13:21, he prayed that God would make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And since that's his will, we know that our God is continuing to feed us with the gospel. He keeps us from going astray. He's teaching us, growing us, reproving us, blessing us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He keeps us in grace, and it's his purpose to continue to grow us in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what he's making us to know, that we're his. He purchased us. We're not our own. We're the Lord's. We're his servants, called to serve and worship him. And so his will is that we continue to uphold that gospel in our lives and in the things that we say in furthering this gospel, that sinners would hear it. So now, with that understanding that our walk is in Christ, that's what we're called to do, and that the way is Christ himself. He is our wisdom, our light, and our understanding. That being so, we come to verse 18. And the Holy Spirit was very specific in putting this verse here. It almost seems a bit out of place, but when you see it for what it is, it's a figure of Christ. It's revealing Christ to us, and it's revealing the work of the Spirit in the child of God. Now, he says here in verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, let me just say, we are not to be drunkards. We shouldn't be drinking in excess, because in drinking, we actually, what we find is that we're not diligent. We're not mindful of what the will of the Lord is. We become more careless, and we're more likely to be indifferent to the will of God when we're full of alcohol and we're drunk. And that's what he's saying. And he's saying don't be drunk. He's not saying don't ever drink alcohol or drink wine or beer or have, you know, whatever. He's just saying don't be drunk. And so we should see this verse 18 in the same way we saw verse 15, where he says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And we saw that could be translated walk perfectly, walk diligently. But a man who's drunk, how does he walk? You know, we see them on the side of the road sometimes when the police pull over someone who they think's been driving. And what do? They ask them, walk to me. Walk a straight line. And they want to see if you're able to walk the line in a manner that says you're not drunk, that you can walk a straight line. And so that tells us that a drunk person is walking imperfectly. They're walking imperfectly. They're walking not with diligence. They're stumbling. They're getting off track. They're probably getting sidetracked and going astray. And so Paul's saying, yeah, don't get drunk, because you are indifferent to the things of the Lord. But there is more to this verse. It's a figure. It's a figure showing us the grace of God for his people by the Holy Spirit. And we noted how that walking circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, is a call to us to walk in Christ. Walk in that light. Walk in the knowledge and understanding that he's given to us in Christ, how that we are saved by His grace and mercy, that we're saved by the blood of Christ, we're justified by His sacrifice. He is our righteousness and our salvation. And so, if we're just living the way this world lives, such as getting drunk and doing our own thing, that's not redeeming the time, and we're not walking with understanding of what the will of the Lord is for us. And so what Paul has in view here is a picture of the gospel, that we're to be ready always to, with that gospel word, with that hope, the only hope for sinners, that we might preach it to others and speak it to others and declare it to others in that time that we're brought to. You know, Peter said it this way. He said, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set Him up as the one true and only of your heart and your life. Sanctify Him as having control of all things over you. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Understanding this is a critical moment when we're given an opportunity to declare Christ to another. It's critical. We don't know how it's going to go for them, whether they're going to hear it or hate it. And we don't know whether they're going to be angry with us or be thankful that we spoke the truth to them. We don't know how it's going to go, but this is really about less about drinking. This is less about being drunk, and it's more about Christ being our hope and our focus, our love and our life, our light, our glory, our all in Him, that we would minister that gospel, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And so turn over to Proverbs 31, and I think it'll help us to see this verse more clearly. Proverbs 31, and go to verse 6. Paul says, I'm sorry, the writer of Hebrews here says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Now you understand this verse in light of alcohol, but see it in the light of Christ. See it in the light of Christ, who gives life to him that is ready to perish, that gives joy and gladness to him that is of a heavy heart. The Lord Jesus Christ does that for his people. So let us always be ready to give the strong drink of the gospel, that the perishing sinner may hear of Christ and live, that their soul be warmed by hearing of the grace and love and mercy of our God and His covenant of grace fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ for His people. Let us be ready to pour forth the wine of Christ's love, that their heavy hearts would be lifted, that they would be encouraged, and their hearts and minds set upon Him whom you love, who has done so much for you in delivering you from your burden and sin. Proverbs 31:7 says, let that dying sinner drink and forget his poverty. Forget that he's a bankrupt sinner with no righteousness, because he's now made rich in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may remember his misery no more, because Christ has delivered him from his death. The only way they're going to be delivered and helped is in the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, in declaring Him, sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts, and speaking of Him, pouring forth, ministering that strong drink of the gospel, which is given to us and has done so much in releasing us from our burden and our guilt, and delivering us into the light of our Lord and Savior. So, therefore, let us declare that God the Father has an everlasting love for His people, whom He chose for Himself and gave them to Christ. And Christ came and faithfully ministered unto us as a servant, laying aside his glory that he had with the Father, and taking upon him the flesh. And he came in weakness and humility, laid down his life for our lives. He bore our sin and put it away, and he took the wrath of God that was our due, so that we are now received by God, and that his blood covers our sins, and God is pleased with us in his Son. And he's blessed us with his Holy Spirit, whereby we know these things, have come to hear and believe what he's done for us, and made us alive in him. Remember what he's done, and share that with perishing sinners. Share that they may hear of that glorious hope that we have in our Savior. Do you believe that he died for you? Do you believe that he died for you? Does your perishing soul believe by this strong gospel drink? Is your heavy heart lightened to hear that Christ bore all the burden of his people to set them free and to make them alive in Christ? You that believe, do so by the grace of God, because that's what he reveals in the hearts of all his children. He makes us to know our need and to find that need met in the blood of Jesus Christ alone. And so all who believe on him have the assurance and the confidence and the rest in Christ that their sin has been put away. This is the wine of the Spirit which we drink, and therefore we serve it to others. And while we don't get drunk on this world's wine and Babylon's fornication, we are filled with the Holy Spirit and rejoice in him. And you know, as we look at verses back in our text in verses 19 and 20, when you read, I guess older books is where you see this, but for some reason I have this in my head that when people drink, or when they used to drink and they get merry, they would begin to sing songs, right? And they'd sing of tales and songs of misery and other foolish things. But in verse 19, we that are filled with the Spirit, we sing the song of redemption. We sing of the glories of our Savior. That's what we minister, which is edifying to the body of Christ. And it says in Ephesians 5:19 and 20, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We're filled not with alcohol, but with the Spirit. And so we sing the song of redemption and encourage one another, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I pray that the Lord encourage you and that you not be burdened when you see passages like that, but always look for Christ. Always see how it's a figure and a picture of our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's given to encourage you. It's given to bless you and to help you as we go on our way in the kingdom of God, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so I pray, bless your hearts with that word. Amen.